In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I'm not really sure who said it, but I have heard that pink isn't a color, it's an attitude. And I'm going to have to say here, as I say twice a year, I feel like, because that's all we get to see it, the church sure is pretty in pink. If we were still using the Latin Mass, the first word we would have heard in today's liturgy would have been gaude, or rejoice. Translated from Latin, the introit today from the ancient Roman rites would have been rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all, for the Lord is near at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Lord, you have blessed your land. You have turned away the captivity of Jacob. These words come from the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Rejoice. The word is sprinkled throughout today's readings. In the first reading from Isaiah, the prophet proclaims that God has sent him to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and that the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me in the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. The psalm of the day repeats the theme of joy and gladness. The second reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians begins with the words, rejoice always. Even the canticles we have today remind us and spark to speak words of joy. Now, with the exception of Paul's letter and the canticles, these readings have their basis in the Hebrew language, which has more words for joy and rejoicing than any other language. This is especially interesting for a language known for having very few words. Ancient Hebrew had, depending on how you want to count them, 2,000 to 5,000 words. To give you context, modern English has somewhere in the ballpark of 250,000 words. In the Old Testament, 13 Hebrew roots found in 27 different words are used primarily for some aspect of joy or joyful participation in religious worship. That's a sizable percentage. English would need something like 3,000 to 4,000 related words to have a similar percentage. And that, my brothers and sisters, is your take-home, vaguely relevant fact for this Sunday, and you're welcome for it. So here we are on this day of rejoicing. Our readings reflect that. Our liturgical heritage reflects that. Yet our collect of the day, which we will read here shortly, which is printed in your bulletin, doesn't mention joy. Why is that? The collect, the prayer that's meant to collect our common hopes and feelings for the worship of the day, ask God to do something for us. It says, stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. I think it's the experience of rejoicing that we are calling to stir up in us. Stir up. In the original Latin, it's excita, the same root where we get the word excite. But if God did stir up in us rejoicing, if God did excite us with the possibility of living unhindered, unfettered by our sins and brokenness in joy, what, my brothers and sisters, would that look like? I think it would give us all a new sense of what it means to be a Christian. I believe that being stirred up for this by God would enable us to move from mere belief into transformative action. Why? Because it's so hard for joy to not be contagious. when we are stirred up to rejoice in the amazing and transformational love of God, we gain an insight into God, a new and different form of relationship, a type of spirituality, if you will. This spirituality is a catalyst that engages the world on God's behalf, pours itself more deeply into the world, challenging its corruptions, speaking out against its complicities with evil, giving of itself and its resources to curb and correct the avarice and greed that lie behind the injustices that surround us. Moreover, it's the kind of spirituality that moves us to call our friends and neighbors during this pandemic to check on them, to make cookies for shut-ins, baskets for those in recovery, and to provide food and kerosene for those in need around us. This kind of spirituality believes that Christ has no hands but our hands, no resources but our resources, and that he waits for us to invest ourselves in the pursuit of righteousness before it can come to be. Of course, rejoicing isn't always an easy thing to do. Being stirred up can sometimes feel like a tall order. In our personal lives, professional lives, and faith lives, we can and will find occasion to not rejoice. We can't just be constantly happy. If we were, we'd be really weird and annoying. Sometimes there's a fine line between someone rejoicing always and someone being so perky you just can't stand them. But think about this. When Paul says rejoice always, he's not saying cheer up or get happy. He's talking about keeping ourselves centered in the deep joy that knows regardless of the darkness or loneliness of the hour, we are children of light rather than darkness. Not because we are enlightened, but because we belong to the light. May the Lord stir up in us all the power to see that we are children of the light, that we can rejoice, always knowing this fact, and that this rejoicing may take us out into the streets, socially distanced, to proclaim the good news. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Gaude in Domino Semper, iterum dico gaude. It's in Latin, so it must be true. Rejoice. The ancient Hebrew knew it. I wish that we had that many in as varied forms of saying rejoice or joy as they did. But we don't. So in lacking the words for it, we must live it in our lives. We must live a life of rejoicing. It's easy for many of us to do that at Christmas time. The task is to live it all year long. When sadness or doubt overtakes us, or when we feel that evil may overwhelm us, or when we sit alone in our homes by ourselves for what seems like days on end, to still live rejoicing, to live in gladness that we are children of God, when tears of joy or grief may stream down our faces, to live as children of light when surrounded by darkness, this is how we must try to live for God. If pink isn't a color but an attitude, then the rejoicing it represents isn't an action but an attitude. It won't be easy, my brothers and sisters, but it is what we have been called to do. The one who calls you to this is faithful, and he will do this. Amen.